Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World Title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for £10 of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, fresh from Monday Night Raw, actually being there in the arena, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, who I was with at Monday Night Raw last night. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I feel very wrestling-y. And that's a curious thing for me to say, because surely we always feel wrestling-y.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
Our jobs are wrestling-y stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we went to Rev Pro on Friday, which was excellent. Mm-hmm. This is the first show we've done, I guess, since
That's
then.
That's true, yeah. I think it's because we've already talked about it on Ramble Club.
Oh.
That I thought that we had done it on this podcast.
Mm. I mean, but that sounds good, that Ramble Club thing. What is it again?
Oh, it's just this little show that we do for our $10 and above Patreon backers. You know, just a little show. Basically, we sit down. It's like a 3-hour show, and we just talk about wrestling that we have seen over the last 30 days.
Kind of like a best matches of the month kind of thing.
You could call it that, yeah. Only it awkwardly comes in the middle of a month.
Yeah, and we also read Big Apple Takedown in the style of someone's father wrote a porno. I've never
my dad
listened
wrote a porno.
To it. Yes,
good show that.
Yeah, I never really got on with it. Everyone else tells me it's excellent.
But you listen to everything on like triple speed, so I don't think you get like the full. That's why I think the majority of the podcasts you listen to are like fact-based ones where people just sit down and just talk about facts, because it doesn't matter then if you're talking at three.
They
times
They talk
the
about
speed.
Opinions,
but again, it's like, you know, but it's fine if that's at three times the speed. Comedy though, you need to listen at regular speed to really get the feel for comedy.
Are you saying that comedies? Oh, I've done this wrong.
Do you want to try
Ask
again?
Me what the secret of comedy is.
No.
Please.
Well, what is the secret?
Timing.
There we go.
So you obviously lose that with a triple speed. I don't think people can physically listen to us on anything faster than 1.75, because we talk quite quickly anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be quite the struggle. I can't do it, man. Like, I tried. I thought I could give it a go, particularly on like a Bruce Pritchard podcast, because those are like 4.5-hour marathons. I thought maybe I could try this on a double speed, but no, it just doesn't work for me.
You can do it. You just need to try harder. Korean Spoon, Luke. That is the spoon of the day. It is long-handled, often with a shallow point at the end of the bowl. A Korean spoon. It's got actually a hyperlink. Ah, well, maybe people don't know what that is, because it also has another name, a sugiyo.
Well, there you go.
That's Korean for the set of eating utensils used to eat Korean cuisine, which is two chopsticks and a spoon.
Adam Emond has emailed in to let us know.
What, were you not going to... You're just going to skip past this spoon?
Well, I can't see the spoon, can I?
What else can you... I've just randomly clicked something, and it's gone onto something, a Wikipedia page called Veneration of the Dead. This is creepy looking. Did you ever play this?
Well, just randomly clicking Wikipedia links.
In the early days of the internet, I was in sixth form, which is kind of like college or high school. So when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, sorry, 16. When I was 16. And we had a common room. We were finally allowed into the sixth form common room.
Oh, what a common room we had.
In Hogwarts. And they had computers, really deep, massive CRT monitor computers, and the internet was... And people would watch this thing called YouTube. Little did I know.
When you were in sixth form?
Yeah.
You're only a couple of years younger than me. Oh, actually, no, that might make sense, actually. That makes complete sense. Sorry, yep. My timeline was off there.
That's fine. And we would play a game where you'd both start on the same Wikipedia page. For sake of argument... Jessica Simpson. And then you have to go from Jessica Simpson using only the blue hyperlinks to, I don't know, Genghis Khan.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I've been thinking of bringing this up. Josh Widdicombe used to play this game on his radio show.
Ah.
With the excellently named Wiki Races.
Oh, it's already a thing?
Yeah.
Josh Widdicombe.
Is that your Josh Widdicombe voice?
That's my Josh Widdicombe voice, yes.
My Josh Widdicombe voice are a bit more like this.
Yeah, well, you're better at impressions than I am.
Adam Emond emailed in to let us know that Agony Aunt is Dear Abby in the States. So they do have a version of this. But
Agony Aunt?
Well, yeah, because we were talking about Agony Aunt. Obviously, we're Agony Aunts.
We're masters of the Agony Aunt.
That's correct, yes. Also, Callum Williamson emailed in with the email subject line of best worst advice. Now,
we've got some questions
possibly.
About it.
Now, I haven't actually read this yet, so okay. I'm going to experience this along with you. Hi, Luke/Ollie. On your Raw review for this week, you mentioned fans can send in questions for your advice, and I thought I'd take you up on that opportunity.
Excellent.
Championship opportunity. I am 25 years old, as you maybe can tell by my email address, which I can because it was 1993, and I'm wondering what you two were doing with your lives at this point, maybe to give me an idea of what I can strive to achieve or avoid as best I can. Love the show, what I listen to most consistently.
Nice.
With consistent quality. Much appreciations, Callum Willow.
25.
What were you doing at 25?
So how? What would the year be? 2013.
Yes. 2005. Would I have turned
25?
2005.
It's 2018 now.
Yeah.
You're 33 now.
And 32. Thank you very much.
32.
So 2010.
So 2010.
Yeah. Math was never my strong suit. So 2000. Yeah. 2010 is where I was at.
So what were you doing in 2010?
What was I doing in 2010?
Let's think about that age. CM Punk was making his way up the ranks in WWE.
Well, actually, by the time I got to 25, I'd only just started getting like a proper career.
Yeah.
Because previously I'd been at university and I graduated from that. And then I started doing night shift work because I wanted to make a film. So I was doing stuff for the film during the day and then I would work a night shift. And I was surviving on about 2 hours sleep a day. Making myself very unwell.
The reverse Kevin Smith of Clarks.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. Yeah. I was doing all the stuff, and I was very, very ill. In fact, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff that my friend filmed, and I look horrendous. I look so gaunt and terrifying. So I did that, and then that didn't particularly work out, so I had to go and do some other menial jobs, and I worked in a toy shop in Reading for a couple of years. Then I went to work at the Reading Post, where I was selling advertising space, which was awful, and I did that for a couple of years. But then I finally started my full career, what I think has led me onto the path where I currently am today, which is I started working as a copywriter for the Yellow Pages, writing up websites for them. And I also then, at the year previously, I started working for Flickering Myth. which is the movie website that you and I met through.
Mm.
And that sort of drew me onto my journey to this point here. I was also dating a girl who it turns out I was not not well suited to, but I was with her for 5 years, breaking up with her when I was 28.
Hey, Vince McMahon's been pushing Roman for 4. You can't see the mistakes sometimes.
Sometimes you cannot. But what about you? Where were you at 25?
I believe at 25 I was... Yeah, I'd lost my job.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. Well, I didn't technically lose my job. The wonderful company that I worked for and had been groomed from university through my master's to, you know, in broadcast transmission. And then I worked my way over to the production side of 4Music. And they were like, hey, if you come over to become a producer and stuff and write these scripts and live things and stuff for the website, then, you know, we're all freelance over here. Trust us, you make a lot more money this way. And they told me how much money they make, and I was like, well, okay, wow, that's insane. And then that kind of allowed them to get obviously there are risks when you go freelance. I just didn't know the risks would come about so quickly after they all advised me to go freelance.
Yeah.
But you know, those are the mistakes you make when you are young. And I was on my ass for a bit, 5 months of unemployment, signing on. And that's when I met my lady partner, which is why I know she's a keeper, because she found me at my lowest point.
What did you do with your 5 months?
I honestly would not stop working. I was obsessed with getting a job. I went to interview after interview, did loads of writing. I tried to do a writing course that was free online, which took up a lot of my time and resulted in nothing. And yeah, just kept on applying for stuff and didn't get anywhere because I wanted to get in at a certain point again, but I kind of priced myself out of my own job.
Oh, mate.
From that previous thing.
That's the worst thing you can possibly do.
I had savings, so I was okay. And then I got a job. And that's when I was sort of getting into Wrestle Talk as well.
Mm.
So I was directing the TV show once every 2 weeks. Like one day every 2 weeks.
Look at you at the age of 25, yeah. Directing a show that was on Challenge.
Yeah, well, you know, directing or saying action. They're the same thing.
You ask Kevin Smith, he'll tell you that it is the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I did. I kind of... Yeah, so no... What was this chap's name?
I've already deleted the email.
you don't delete them, do you?
No, but I...
File them away.
Well, I remove it from, like... Because I have it filed under a certain thing in Google Mail, and then I just remove the label when I'm done with it, and then it auto-archives it then. Let me see if I can search for it. Best. Oh, I found it. Hang on. It was from Callum Willow,
whose email we're going to treasure forever, Luke. No pressure, because at the age of 25, we both found and started working towards what we want to do.
Yes, but I would say that...
So, no pressure of finding that thing that you need to commit the rest of your life to.
I would say, though, I don't think I was a very nice person at 25.
Really?
I don't think I was a particularly nice person until I really met my current wife.
I knew you before then. You were lovely.
Nah, I think I was all right. But I think I was all right with you. But I think, you know, I don't think I was the nicest person. I don't think I would have been friends with me.
I think you are one of the nicest people I know. You always have been.
I think I'm the person that YouTube thinks I am is the person.
No, no, you've got too high nice standards. So you probably, you know, didn't pick up a bit of rubbish once in 2009. And it's just tormented you.
It's the worst thing ever.
That strawberry poppers wrapper.
Don't like to think about it. Lastly, we're going to have this email here from Toby Emmett, who's emailed in to say, hello, Luke and Ollie. I've been a fan of the Wrestle Talk YouTube channel for quite some time now, and then I realised you had a podcast. So now long car journeys, long walks, and when I'm not watching the Wrestle Talk news, has been filled with entertainment and joy. Thank you, Ollie, spelt wrong, and Luke, and hashtag support Wrestle Talk. Love you. Bye. So that was a nice little email there from Toby Emmett. We've got some more correspondence, but we've got quite a bit to get into on today's show, because we're going to start off our chitter-chatter nonsense with Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax at Money in the Bank, where Ollie has a bit of a breakdown talking about the video itself where they made the announcement. And then we've got a full-on Raw review, but stay tuned for the after the outro, because we've got there's a bit of a talk about it at the end of the show, but we're going to talk more detail about it in the outro. Ollie's looking to be very confused because clearly he's already forgotten what we talked about at the end of the show.
What, you going away on holiday?
Yes.
But people, this sounds like a big announcement we're going to make.
Well, I'm going on holiday.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to spoil the surprise. Like, now they're going to get to that and be like, what's oh, okay. But we're just going to talk about like how what's going to happen to the podcast while I'm away.
He's going to die. Are we going to talk about this rather sudden announcement? We were there at Monday Night Raw in London, san taxis and red phone boxes and London buses on the stage.
I thought you meant our transport to get there for a moment.
No. We got in the car.
Because you're like, without taxis or buses getting us there? I was like, no, because we drove.
Luke, I have so many boring stories about how I got out of the car park.
Well, I haven't asked you because I assumed that was going to be saved for the podcast.
Everything went wrong. And I was accosted.
I'm so unsurprised it went wrong. Oh, you were accosted?
In the car.
In the car? By
who? I turn round and there's these two chaps in the car next to me going... And I was like... And then one of them got out of the car and knocked on the window with a camera. He's trying to take a selfie with me. This never happens. This is only at a wrestling show that this would happen. And I was on the phone to my girlfriend and I was like, just a second, Anna, while I've got to do this. And then, you know, he went back to the car, but it was gridlock. So we were just next to each other.
Well, of course it was gridlock. You were trying to drive out of the O2. Yeah. I did think it was going to be an issue.
Anyway, loads of boring things, but Ronda Rousey.
You can get on the podcast.
Ronda Rousey. So this was a segment that they played about 20 times throughout the night.
Yeah, so the show kicked off with like a tease of the segments to be like, oh, BT Dubs, we were at the NBC upfront and Nia Jax challenged Ronda Rousey. Find out what's going to happen on later on tonight. And then they played the whole thing, yeah, about 20-odd times throughout the show.
Mm. And that would be cool if it was any good, but this was terrible. This was so cringy, it was so awkward, nobody came off good. In fact, I would say Charlotte... But I was like, before I was like, Charlotte's kind of tired. I'm getting tired of Charlotte, all her promos. I'm going to make magic with people. But, you know, I like Charlotte. I always thought, no, that's just WWE's presentation of her. And, you know, you criticize that rather than the person itself. But the way she was in this segment, I'm like, now I just don't want to see you.
But I think that, again, is WWE's presentation of it. Because this is a very heavily scripted segment. And she was given all of this rubbish and garbage to say. Okay, so if you haven't seen the segment, Ronda's being interviewed by WWE. Point number one, why didn't you get like an actual... You know,
E-News.
Exactly,
yeah.
Why didn't you get
like
E
that.
To do it? Because then they could have covered it and things like that. But anyway,
it's on like a red carpet.
At the NBC up front.
At the NBC up front.
So anyway, so... Ronda's being interviewed by one of their generic robot ladies. I think it was Dasha.
No, it was Kathy Kelly.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, WWE.com's own. She's not generic.
I don't know who
she was. She's a good one.
I don't know who she was. Anyway, so she's been interviewed by this Kathy lady, and she's talking about her WrestleMania match. And she said, well, I actually had a lot of help. And Charlotte awkwardly steps in and was like, hey, you may be Ronda Rousey, but can you do this? Woo! And then Ronda tried to do the woo. And that's actually my thing I'm getting a bit sick with Charlotte Flair is doing the woo.
It's like...
And the strut.
Of course she can do the woo. It's not hard. And then I did a better woo. And she said, oh, I'm trying to get this woo. It was just patronizing to the viewer.
Yes.
It was awful.
And then Nia Jax steps in and says, like, hey, you may be able to woo, but can you do this? She holds up her Raw Women's Championship.
I was like, okay.
Now we're this is the only good part of this.
This was interesting because you switched from this like this crapness to the, oh, now S has got real. Nia Jax holds it up. She looks mean. Ronda Rousey, she turned into that mean face thing. And then rather than go, okay, bitch. Imagine if she said a bitch word. She goes, ah, oh, no, I couldn't possibly. I mean, I've only just got here. And which is okay. I know that's the route they're taking with the character. That's fine, but it was then just that they accept the match and
which,
then...
Well, Charlotte accepts the match.
Charlotte's just on the side going, you should accept it.
Yeah, off camera, accept it.
Oh, God, it was just...
But then we haven't got to the worst bit
of it. Was she drunk?
We haven't got to the worst bit of this yet. So Ronda Rousey then accepts the challenge after Charlotte's insistence, and they pose. And then Charlotte gets in between them and puts her arms around them and was like, this...
is going to be good. Woo! And then they all did the woo, and then they all laughed, and they all said, made jokes and japes, and they smiled at each other and walked off arm in arm, chuckling all the way home. And I was like, well, now I couldn't possibly care about this.
In what world is that dynamic supposed to be dramatically interesting?
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Like, not even, like, I was thinking, well, you know, I'm approaching this from a fight perspective. I always see these as ending in matches, which is what wrestling should be structured around. But then I thought, hey, this is kind of trying to open up to a more female demographic who are into stuff like Total Divas, where their forms of conflict are a bit more standoffish and awkwardly structured. Yes, evenly more awkwardly structured and positioned than a WWE backstage promo. So maybe they were doing this so that you kind of riff off the structured reality Total Divas, Total Bellas vibe. But then I thought, but they all just walked off happy. There's no tension here. There's no cause to get intrigued. Why would you? And just, Charlotte, just in the middle of all this,
she was
looking completely gormless. My theory is that the reason she's in there is because this is the clip that's going to be shared round loads of mainstream news outlets, and you want to get Nia Jax's face in there, obviously, because she's the challenger to Rousey. Sorry, not the challenger, she's the one with the title, and you introduce her to that way. But if the plan is Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania next year, then this is your first push of Charlotte and Rousey in the same picture, and when it gets round to next April, WWE can show clips of that and look, this is a long genius story, but actually it's a crappy story.
Yeah, but I mean, to the point, the title of this video is this title shot far too early, because you and I, we were sat there in waiting for Raw, and they sort of did this announcement, and we both went like, "Huh, man, they're doing this match now." And then I ran into some friends of mine at the show, and they were like, "Are they really doing that match at Money in the Bank?" And I was like, "I mean, apparently so." And then big shout out to all the people that came up and said hello to us at the show. Thank you very much for watching and getting involved, and just saying hello. And it was bloody lovely. But a lot of the people that I spoke to there that came up was all saying like, I mean, it's a bit soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like there's a couple of people that were like, "Oh, it's definitely the right time to do it." Every single person was like, "Seems a bit early to be doing the Ronda Rousey title match." But so what are your thoughts? Is this title match too soon?
It depends how they do it. In my gut, initially, I'm like, well, I thought you were going to build this thing with Natalya, which I think is probably why Natalya got the win elsewhere on the card. And then, like, Ronda has someone who she's reportedly been training with for over a year to have her first singles match outside all the smoke and mirrors of that very excellent tag match. But fact of the matter is, there was an enormous amount of work that went into that and other people to make Ronda look the best she possibly could. So why you would then put her in the ring with Nia Jax, who we love, but is limited and injures people often. Not too often, but I think two injuries she's racked up now.
Certainly has.
So
in less than a year.
That's worrying. But Dave Meltzer pointed out on Wrestling Observer Radio, well, if you put Ronda in the title match and Nia effectively turns heel, aligning herself with Stephanie, and you build up that storyline, and Ronda is on the chase for this against the heel authority figure. Yeah, I know. I've heard that one before.
Well, that's kind of why I sort of like groan and roll my eyes, because I thought we'd sort of moved past the whole Stephanie McMahon thing. I thought that's why we had the big blow-off at WrestleMania for that. Mm. Like, do you know what Ronda doesn't need is just more Stephanie McMahon angles. What she needs now is just to kind of establish herself within the Raw women's division and not be this just feuding with Stephanie McMahon all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to help her. It's just going to get... I don't need to see it again. I've already seen it, and I've seen it culminate at WrestleMania, so why would we need to do it again?
Exactly, yeah. None of the ways come out good. Either Ronda wins, and you're like, well, you've just sacrificed a whole Chase storyline. You've given away the end of the story way too early into Ronda's career. Of course, it would be very popular in the mainstream press, which I guess what they're going for, but But yeah, but it could be even more popular if you hold off on it.
So the interesting thing, so WrestleVotes, who is a Twitter account, who've broken quite a few things over the last year or so. They were the ones who broke that there was going to be a dual-branded pay-per-views moving forward in May of this year. And they were also, they actually also broke that Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns was going to headline Backlash when a lot of people didn't think it was going to. Which obviously I didn't see because I thought AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura were going to. What do I know? But anyway, so they actually put up a tweet today saying that they spoke with their sources within WWE. So obviously this is all rumour and innuendo. It's all conjecture. It's all hearsay and whatnot. But according to their sources, take it with a pinch of salt, take it with whatever. According to their sources, the reason why they're doing this is because WWE didn't want to do another pay-per-view without Ronda Rousey on the card. But they didn't want her in the ladder match. So they, but because they don't want her in the Money in the Bank match, cool. We also then can't have her lose a qualifier, so this is the only option left, is to put her in a title match.
This is the only, it's the only thing we do. Our backs are against the wall, guys.
It's the only thing. It's the only other option we had left was she was either in the ladder match or she was in a title match, because as we all know, you can't have more than two feuds going on at the same time. So you can't do like a Mickey James match, or you can't do an Natalya match. I think it's probably too early to do the Natalya match, really. I thought they were going to do the Mickey James route first. I thought Money in the Bank, they've kind of set themselves up, previous to this week, to do a tag match at Money in the Bank between Natalya and Ronda against Alexa and Mickey.
Totally.
Like, that's fine, because then you can do more smoke and mirrors and stuff, and then maybe you can build to a singles match between Ronda and Mickey at Extreme Rules. Maybe then do, that's where you do the Natalya turn, and then you could do Natalya and Ronda at SummerSlam, and just keep building Ronda up, get her these more wins, get her more exposure, get her more in-ring credibility before you put her into this title match. But according to WrestleVotes, the actual original plan was to do Nia and Ronda at SummerSlam.
Hmm. Which sounds much better.
Yeah, so she was always going to get a title match at SummerSlam, apparently. But now they've just moved that forward to Money in the Bank because, Ollie, they had no other choice.
Backs were against the wall, guys.
There were no other options.
So it is only two pay-per-views beforehand. So, like, that doesn't sound significant, but I really think it is.
Especially
because Ronda is super over at the moment. But there is a huge... Well, not huge, but there is a significant portion of the fan base who want to see her fail. And will be like, and maybe even the people who are on her side at the moment, it's going to be that Roman Reigns thing where, oh, this is happening now, is it? I'm getting a bit of pushback on how far you're going with the push.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's a good idea. It's too soon.
It's like Bayley. Bayley got her title shots on Raw far too soon for her character. And I think, Ronda, you could look at it the exact same way. It's too, you should have been building up Bayley's, building up that chase, as you so brilliantly pointed out. You then get excited for this chase of Ronda trying to get the championship. And now it's just like, she's getting a title shot. She's only been in the company a couple of months. She debuted in January. She's had one match, and now she's got a title shot that the champion handpicked. And, I mean, it's likely she's going to win. Because do you want to have Ronda lose her first singles match?
Yeah.
And now you're in that situation we were talking about with Big Cass and Daniel Bryan, where you've booked yourselves into a corner because this match looks great on paper. It looks great for the pay-per-view audience. But now, we don't have a finish we can really do. Don't want Nia to lose. Don't want Ronda to lose. So what do we do now?
Mm. Yeah. It seems short-sighted. It could all work out, but right now it seems short-sighted. And it was a rubbish segment to introduce her then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we get on with the full Raw review, we have some Patreon shout-outs to our Pledge Hammers, who are very nice to, kind enough to donate over $25 a month or more. But there's loads of other things that you can get for various other pledges. $5 a month gets you the Wrestle Ramble Extra podcast. $10 gets you the Ramble Club podcast, which is where we sort of review all the best matches of the month from outside of WWE, which we're finishing later today, aren't we? And
yes,
we read Big Apple Takedown. We finally finished the first chapter in this episode.
Oh, we certainly
took us 3 months.
But we got there.
It's idiotically dense.
And there's a lot to unpack.
Yes.
It's almost like every other line there's a question like, ooh, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And there's a lot to unpack.
Who wrote this line, really? So, Paulie Dangerously Jarman, thank you. That was
again
a terrible bell.
The $100 man, C.D. Horver.
That's right. That's the right pronunciation.
I think so.
John McBride of Frankenstein.
The Craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Michael, name your price.
Kevin Razzmatazz Chapel.
Caught in a web.
No.
Caught in a Travis web.
Nearly. Bluffing this up now. Courtney Villainess Havoc Summers, who you can follow on Twitter at Villainess Havoc.
She's like one of our longest running pledge hammers.
Certainly is.
I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
One of my favourite ones I've ever come up with. David Hendricks is God McKenzie, who you met.
I met.
At the Rev Pro Show.
At the Rev Pro Show, he came to say hi, and I was like, do you want to get a picture? And he said, no. Walked off.
But it was nice that you offered.
Yes. Christopher the Conda Johnson.
The incredible Jorge Henriquez.
Some good R rolling.
Thank you.
Rob Pontin Problems. Pontin.
Matthew Preston City Wrestling.
I feel like my bells have gotten worse. Sean Far From Bland Blandford.
Richard the Dragon Stevens.
Stem Cell Robert Stemmen.
And Big Ben Spires. We will have the rest of our $25 and above Pledge Hammer shoutouts on the SmackDown review tomorrow.
Haha, it's a Raw review, looking jacked, man.
So Raw kicked off with the Nia Jax Ronda Rousey, all what's going to happen later on in the show tease, but the actual in-the-ring stuff started with Roman Reigns coming out. Now, of course, we watched it there live, and we've watched it on TV broadcast with commentary. Wow, that adds nothing.
Well, I was going to ask, actually, because we do have this this perspective here. How did you find the show watching it live versus the taped the broadcast version that you watched this morning?
I was shocked by how the crowd, the London crowd, were very vocal on the TV broadcast, but it seemed so much louder in the arena.
I think there were times when the London crowd were very much dead, which I don't particularly blame them for. It was what was put in front of them. But we were alive for certain bits and pieces. But I think there was stuff very much that was edited off this show. Certainly when Sami Zayn cut his promo, the London crowd was singing his entrance music as they used to do in NXT. But in the broadcast version, that was all cut down.
Yeah.
That was all cut out.
Yeah, it sort of comes back to Sami with, and enough of that,
yeah,
doesn't it? But Roman Reigns came out to open the show, and surprise, surprise, he got booed heavily.
Yeah, or as Michael Cole put it, he's being serenaded by the London crowd. Serenaded with boos, perhaps.
Yeah. You get there eventually with the wording, maybe. But it seemed like either it was a bit lower in volume, or maybe possibly
it was cut down a bit as well.
Mm,
because I remember when Roman got into the ring, we booed him for quite a long time, and he played up to that. But in the TV broadcast, it seemed to be Roman gets in the ring, there's a little bit of booing, and then promo.
Do you know what I was really gutted about? We did not get a Bizarro World reference from Corey Graves, but he did say that the London crowd do like to voice their opinions.
We're vocal.
So
Roman comes out and he's like, last week I was cheated out of a Money in the Bank position by Jinder Mahal, who grabbed my leg, and I'm calling you out, Jinder. Jinder got a huge pop. We cheered everything for Jinder and booed everything Roman did.
It was funny as well because, I mean, I'll be honest, your read of that line was far too, I don't want to use the word manly, but it was far too aggressive. It was far too like, I need to do the right thing. Because really, Roman's promos just become, I got screwed. I didn't win at the Greatest Royal Rumble. I didn't win at WrestleMania. WWE management is screwing me out of my championship. And I'm like, it makes me actively like dislike him so much.
And I feel like he's getting, I know you put a lot of intonation there, and that's definitely the tone of the context, but in the delivery, he's quite wooden.
It just sounds bored.
Yeah.
I think even he knows it's rubbish.
Yes. So Jinder doesn't come out. Kurt Angle and these floppy wrists do.
We were there floppy wrists.
We were there flopping our wrists along with Kurt. And Kurt says, I thought Kurt's performance here was pretty good. We were just on the edge of our seat waiting for him to say something wrong. He got a bit of a what treatment. But he actually performed it very well. He was kind of saying, last week I was thinking emotionally, but I should have thought logically about Jinder getting a Money in the Bank qualifier match. So I know what's best for business. And he did this wonderful pause before he said that, like he was reluctant to, because you can realise for yourself that Stephanie McMahon has told him off. And
yes,
they didn't shove that down our throats.
No.
It was quite nicely told.
No, we are heading for a Stephanie McMahon return. It seems to be coming soon, one would assume, because he was on, like, we've always questioned, like, who's he on the phone with? Today it was revealed that he was on the phone with Stephanie McMahon, and she told him to change the main event that we got later on in the show. And he was very, like, they would keep pointing out here that it's not Kurt Angle that's holding him back. It's, quote, WWE management, a.k.a. it's Stephanie McMahon. So they're trying to run this angle that it's the system that's holding Roman down, and he's fighting against that system. And it's just really weird about this, though. Like, Roman's whole deal at the moment is that he is whining and complaining that he is not being given another Universal Championship match because, quote, he's the rightful Universal Champion and he's been screwed and this, that and the other. It's the exact same promo and character that Kevin Owens is also doing as well, only he's a heel and Michael Cole doesn't like it when he does it.
Mm.
It's really bizarre how WWE can just not see that they've done the exact same character twice, but one of them is a heel and the other looks like, well, this guy's a badass, look at him fighting against the system.
And Jinder as well, to an extent.
Yeah,
he's always like, I want to be put in these things, here's my demands. But I guess Jinder hasn't been screwed. Kevin Owens hasn't actually been screwed. There is more of an argument that Reigns has
But Reigns lost at WrestleMania.
Yes, and just put clean in the middle.
And just got another match out of it. But he put up a good fight.
But you know what's worrying? And maybe this does reveal what the Ronda Rousey plans are. These are syncing up quite nicely. Stephanie McMahon's hints that she's a presence again are syncing up with Ronda Rousey's first singles match.
Are they though?
Yeah, like the first mention of Stephanie McMahon was last week when someone said it and Kurt said, don't remind me that Stephanie's watching this week. Like, it's more of a presence when Stephanie's actively changing matches, and it just so happens to be the same time that Ronda Rousey is challenging Nia.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe. I mean, that's good storytelling.
But so you think they're
going to... It's just not a story I want to hear.
You think they're leading to a Stephanie and Kevin Owens versus Roman and Ronda match?
That might not be terrible.
Well,
Owens and Reigns are good together.
Because the only thing they can do with Ronda is either put in title matches or tag matches against Stephanie.
Yeah. Where were we? God. Jinder... Oh, yes, Roman Reigns is like, well, I get what you've got to do, Kurt. You've got a family, but I've got to do what I've got to do. And he walks backstage, he finds Jinder.
The crowd singing the Na 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 song. to wave him off.
And Jinder brilliantly throws Sunil Singh into Roman as defence, but Roman gets the better of him eventually and beats him up out into the crowd, and they separate, and that's that.
And Jinder sold this throughout the show because, like, he gave him one Superman punch, and later on Jinder is having his ribs taped up.
Yeah, wow. It just the angle that it comes down in, it crushes the abdomen.
Oh,
and it snaps those ribs. But next up we got what it probably would have been nicer if this went on later, because I was really looking forward to this, and when it was out the way immediately, I was like, there's 3 hours, like, because it's long. It's not just a 3 hour show in the live event terms. It's quite long.
Yes.
But it was Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens had answered Rollins' Intercontinental Open Challenge earlier in the day, and they had a terrific match.
And see, what was really funny about this as well, so I spoke to various different people throughout the night. So I spoke to friends of mine and to, you know, members of the Swap Nation who came
in. I didn't talk to anyone. Well, I just sat down and watched stuff, and you were like, oh, what? Oh, it's my friend over there. Hi, guys, over there.
I'm so popular, that's the problem, despite what YouTube tells
you. It's like
you
were running for election.
But I spoke to a lot of people, and actually I spoke to some, you know, guys on the tube as we were coming home as well. Every person that I spoke to all thought, man, I was really hoping Pete Dunne was going to answer the Intercontinental Championship thing. And when people said that, because I knew it was Kevin Owens, because I think that had already been announced before we'd got there. And I was like, oh, yeah, Pete Dunne would have been a really cool guy to answer the challenge, or someone like that, so, you know, so it wasn't Kevin Owens. But we did get a really great match out of this. But it would have been nice if it was like a match that we hadn't seen previously. Like what I really liked with Seth and Mojo last week.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've had Rollins and Owens. But when we did have it, it was every week for about 3 months.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can have Owens-Rollins any week, really. So really to capitalise on the UK crowd. I know Pete Dunne's meant to be a heel, and he's good enough where he can work. He's good enough as a heel, and Rollins is good enough as a babyface where they can get the crowd cheering the right and booing the right people. But yeah, I agree. But we did get a great match. That I really like how set all these matches that Rollins is having. It's like people, wrestlers come in and they're like, here's my moveset. Here's your usual spots. I'm going to put my moveset into your usual spots to play with the structure of a usual Seth Rollins match. And it's making it fresh and really interesting every time. The Finn Balor bits in their like trilogy, and now the Owens match here. This is really good stuff with Rollins at the moment.
Yeah, really, really enjoyed this. They did a spot when Kevin Owens was trying to powerbomb him on the apron, and Rollins reversed that and hit a Falcon Arrow onto the side of the apron, which looked like it absolutely sucked to take. And they
did the hardest part of the ring.
Well, it is. There's no give. And it built to a really, really great 10-count spot where both guys got in like at 9 and 3/4. It was a really, really close call them getting back in. Great series of punches and clotheslines, and the crowd started chanting, "This is awesome," which I thought was a bit much. It was really good, but it wasn't like a burn the house down match. And this is when it ties into what you were saying there, where they Rollins set up to do the superplex into the Falcon Arrow that he often does, and he leaped up and he hooked Kevin Owens up for it. But as he went to hook him up, in fact, Kevin Owens hooked him up instead and hit a key crusher off the top, which looked really, really cool.
I've got Fisherman Buster, just in case corrected.
Well, yeah, it looks like a key crusher as well. It was like Low-Key's old move. But yeah, it was really good. Like, Rollins rolled outside and Kevin Owens did that great thing where you struggle and you're reaching, like, I was so taken from the jaws of victory. And then as Owens rolled him back in, he was climbing in through the ropes, and Seth gave him the curb stomp and won. I think you thought the finish came out of nowhere. You sort of reacted.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. The curb stomp is that kind of move, isn't it? But I liked the match a lot. I wouldn't have changed it. I was just like, oh, okay, that's the finish.
Yeah.
Good match overall. It's a TV match. Like, they shouldn't be having pay-per-view 5-star matches on TV. Although these are very good, you should save those for the larger events.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this.
So Luke turned to me. It was just before the superplex spot, and you were like, "Oh, I mean, I wonder what's going to happen now." Or like it was something to the effect of, it's like you know what Seth Rollins is going to do before he does it, but it's still really good. And then I was like, "Oh yeah," and here comes the superplex into the Falcon Arrow spot, and then Owens reversed it. It was awesome.
Great story.
Worked us.
Yeah.
Then we got the Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey full clip for the first time.
Yep.
the full thing. Then we got from the worst segment of the night to the best.
Oh,
the B team!
Excellent segue there. Yeah, so Kurt Angle is backstage. He's on the phone, because of course he is. And Bo and Axel walk in. And they've quickly become one of my favourite things on Raw. So they wanted a championship match, and they start calling themselves the A-Team. They've moved away from the Miz Siraj, but they're now the A-Team. And Kurt Angle says, and you laughed a lot at this because the verbiage was so awful. It's like, guys, the A-Team was a TV show and a movie remake.
Yeah, it's like someone has written the script, and fine, you write that for the first draft, but then when you read it aloud or you get people to workshop the script and the lines, you then go, oh, no, wait, that's not natural. We take that line out. You just need to say the TV series.
Yeah. Or like,
but they didn't do that stage.
Or the original line was just, it was a TV series. And then one of the other writers was like, oh, they did the movie remake as well. I was like, oh, well, yeah, we better add that in anyway. Otherwise, people might try and correct us. So we need to get that in and make sure we specifically say it's a movie remake.
Mm.
But they say like, oh, okay, we're not going to be the A-Team. We're going to be the B-Team. Kurt Angle calls it stupid. Curtis Axel calls it stupid. But Bo says no. The B stands for best. And all of a sudden, Curtis Axel was like, yeah, it does.
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea. I loved this so much. But Kurt pointed out, they've not won a tag team match. And they were like, well, the Miz Siraj may not have won a match, but the B team is undefeated.
They got a huge pop.
It did.
You can hear it on the, even though it's a backstage segment, you can hear the pop from the background.
Yeah, the London crowd really got into the B team. So then Kurt Angle said they were going to put him in action later because they can't be put into a title match just yet. And they were very, very excited by this, as were the UK crowd. And it got to the point when, as that segment finished, I was like, I need to, at some point, I'm going to need to go get another drink and I'm going to need to go to the loo. But I do not want to miss this. I have to come back because I do not want to miss the B team.
Yeah, they're really good. The delivery, the comedic delivery from all three men, even Kurt, was very good.
Yeah.
Then we got Bobby Roode beating Baron Corbin and No Way Jose for a Money in the Bank qualifier match.
Oh man, your like all excitement, hope, your dreams, your love of life was just like drained away from you when you just heard that No Way. And you just instantly was like,
yeah. And you know what they did? For the live crowd, Jose would come out with his weird sex party train and they'd walk around the ring a bit. Then on the TV broadcast, they go, the match is happening next. And then they come back and Jose's still like partying along with the crowd. That's because we got 4 uninterrupted minutes of them all just dancing around the ring and Jose just weirdly shimmying and doing this. Oh, God. And everyone was into it apart from me. I felt like a real stick in the mud.
I was going to say, everyone was like, the whole London crowd was like, no way, Jose, really getting into it apart from you. Apart from you and JoJo. I don't think JoJo didn't look too impressed with it
JoJo
either.
JoJo seemed a bit grumpy.
Well, and then she had a trophy pushed on top of her, which I don't think helped matters. But yeah, JoJo did look grumpy.
So yes, that was that. I mean, there was a bit where I was watching JoJo quite a bit throughout the night. There was a bit where she was sitting at ringside and she produced a phone. And I was like, where the hell was that phone on you?
She probably just left it by her seat.
I don't know, but it seemed like she got it out of a pocket, and that's such a tight dress. I was like, where are the pockets on this thing?
But it was Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode were also in this match. Bobby Roode got a decent reaction. I think that he is getting very cold. His music is getting a good reaction.
That's more like it. Yeah. The word glorious gets a decent reaction.
And then when he does the hand thing, it's like a Pavlovian response. We all know we're meant to say glorious. But that's more or less about it. When he actually wrestles the crowd, and the crowd did go very quiet for this match. Mm. Very, very quiet.
Because it was, you know, it went quite long, I thought. But Baron Corbin is very good. He is impressively tall in real life. And I thought he was a standout, even though he is a bit green, I suppose. And Bobby Roode is like the ring general of this match. I just like the way Corbin wrestles, and when he tore his top off and he riled up the crowd. There was a bit when he did a diving clothesline off the ring apron onto Bobby. Sounded awesome. And then he just goes crazy with these stomps on Roode. The crowd, I don't know if this came across on the TV broadcast, were chanting to Football's Coming Home, the theme.
By the Lightning Seeds for Euro 1996.
And Frank Skinner,
Frank Skinner.
David Baddiel.
That's right.
Those guys.
I'm just so focused on the lightning seeds.
Yeah.
I really love the lightning seeds.
That they chanted, what? Corbyn's going bald. He's going bald. He's going bald. He's going. Corbyn's going bald. Which was very funny.
It was very funny, although I did feel like it was, you know, kids with glass houses.
Yeah. We were throwing stones there.
We were throwing stones.
Rude one with a glorious DDT on Jose when Corbyn was outside. And there you go.
It was a typical WWE three-way match. Two people in the ring, one person outside the selling.
God, it was really... Being there live, it's really obvious, those spots. Like, Jose was outside for ages just on the apron like this. Just because he fell out the ring.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like he was struck or taken out on the outside. It does look awkward. And it's like, that's a great tactic. If I was a wrestler in a shoot match like that, I would just sit outside for as long as possible and then scoop up the scraps.
Yes.
But that wasn't what he was telling.
Watching it live, and I'm pretty sure that we've spoken about this before, because I know we've noticed this before, but when you, like, watching on TV is one thing, but when you go to watch these things live, you suddenly realise that, yeah, all of these matches are exactly the same. Mm. They all have the exact same pattern, and they all have the exact same, not spots, but they all have the exact same, like, peaks and troughs. So it's very easy then for people to just get to kind of switch off during the match, because we've seen the match already. Like, we've seen it in one match, then you just see it in the next match, then you see it in the next match. And yeah, it was really, because I thought this was a decent show. I thought it was a decent show overall, but all the matches were exactly the same.
Yeah, and we hate to be these guys, but we went to Rev Pro on Friday, which is an independent British promotion, and they had Keith Lee and Tomohiro Ishii and Matt Riddle and loads of really talented guys, and every match felt completely different. There'd be a cruiserweight one, then there'd be this, like, just big move spot fest, and then something else, high-flying match, and they're all, like, really different with their own structures, and some of those were good, some of those were bad, but at least it was different.
Variety.
The variety, but like you said here, the people are different and the moves are different, but the overall emotional journey is exactly the same.
Yes.
And it does become a bit tiring.
Variety comes in packs of eight, unless it's WWE.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens confronted Kurt next backstage, saying that he unfairly lost to Seth, although it was totally clean, and said, well, I'm going to call Stephanie McMahon to get added to that Money in the Bank qualifier match later. And Kurt was like, don't threaten me. And Kevin Owens awesomely said, it's not a threat, mate. And he got his phone out and started calling Stephanie. And then Kurt went straight into the trainer's room where Jinder is selling his ribs from that Superman punch. I like this. This was good. It made it feel like, yes, a world where people interact with each other backstage rather than just standing in a line in front of a camera.
Yes. And it was, Angle said that, hey, Jinder, you have to wrestle tonight.
Because, and then it's like he realises, it's best for business. So that was a nice
little
callback.
Yeah. Next up, we have...
Here it is.
Match of the night. The B-Team versus Breezango. Like, instantly, I'm excited because it's Breezango. I'm even more excited because now it's the B-Team.
Mm.
Very excited by this.
It's weird because we were just talking about variety, and this is the perfect time where you could have a full-on comedy match.
Yes.
Freshen that up. And this had comedic elements, but it was still the same WWE match.
Yeah,
with a few bits of
comedy.
Funniness.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you beat down one of them, and then they get the hot tag, and then the hot tag runs wild. It was it's the same tag match, very formulaic tag match, but the comedy did sort of help that a little bit. They also announced as well that Breezango are going to be live tweeting the royal wedding this weekend.
Should be great.
Yes.
Because Fandango is a naturally very funny person.
Yes.
I'm surprised they've given that man a live social media feed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I imagine it will likely be monitored. It will likely type something up and be like, is this okay?
6 second delay.
Yeah.
Corey said on commentary before this match started, you know, making fun of the B team's losing streak, wait a minute, we don't count wins and losses around here anymore. I was like, that's been for quite some time, Corey. Yeah.
Actually, it was Michael Cole that said that, because Corey
was
Gray...
It?
Yeah, I think it was Cole that said, like, oh, do wins and losses not mean anything anymore? Because then Booker T made the excellent point, was like, hey, before we were Harlem Heat, we were this tag team, and we didn't win anything. Then we became Harlem Heat, we started winning things. And then they're like, I think they tried to shut him down, because that was an excellent point, and that's not what they want out of Booker T. However, I will say this about Booker T, because I've got to read you something that he said like beat for beat, word for word. This is a quote from Booker T. Look around you, Corey. The people love Breezango. The fashion police. We're here in lovely old England. The Queen. And that was it. And I was like, cool. What was the point towards the end?
The Queen, man.
He just went, we're here in lovely old England. The Queen.
Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte Flair's also around.
Oh, she's not there, though, is she? Gonna be good. Woo! But this was a fun match, and I kind of forgot how great Fandango is as a wrestler as well.
Yeah, his punches are wicked.
Yeah, just everything he does. It's a shame he's not given more time to still do the comedy and be a serious ass kicker as well.
Yeah. The crowd were also chanting the A-Team theme throughout this as well.
Although, which is excellent.
I will say, you chant the A-Team theme, but you don't do the whole team. You just do the bit that people know, which is the da 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 da. The theme changes after those beats there. It goes into something a little bit different. Da 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 da. But they don't do that bit. They just do this bit here, which confused me.
You call them out. You tell them what's what, Luke.
I'm going to call them and tell them what's what.
So Charlie Caruso gets in the ring after the B-Team win, and they are... Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel are selling this
so
like
good.
It's the biggest thing that's ever happened to them. It was very funny. And they're just like, the B team's here to stay, and we're coming after those tag team championships.
So good.
Oh, yeah, this
love
is funny.
This. Absolutely. Said that anything is possible for the B team. Mm. Loved it.
So, some things look really good on TV and don't look good live. Some things look really good live that don't necessarily look as good on TV. Sasha Banks and Natalya and Ember Moon versus the Riot Squad looked a lot better on TV. Because this was an okay match when I watched it back. But in the arena, it looked so choreographed and slow, and people didn't look like they were having a fight. They looked like, I'm going to stand here, you're going to do something to me. It was just not believable in the slightest when I was watching it. Apart from when Natalya got in the ring.
Oh, yeah, Natalya was great.
She was really crisp. And when Ember Moon did a dive.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Ember's dive was absolutely awesome. The crowd were absolutely dead for this match.
Because it's not good live.
No, it really wasn't good live. Mm. Although my positive note to take out of this is that I'm really turning a corner on Sarah Logan. I'm really, really turning a corner on her. And then you and I had the conversation about Sarah Logan when we were watching her, and you said, she might be the best member of the Riot Squad. And then you stopped yourself and was like, I know, because Ruby Riott's there. And I was like, okay, well, she's the second best member of the Riot Squad. And we went, yeah. And you just told
comfortably.
Me, yeah, comfortably. She's the second best.
Yeah. So Natalya tapped out Morgan in the end with a sharpshooter, which popped the Bret Hart-loving London crowd huge. Yep. And, yeah, I Natalya getting the win here rather than Sasha, who's actually in a storyline. Kind of with Bayley and Ember Moon, who's just been called up, giving Natalya the win, like signals to me that she's still going to get that Ronda match.
Mm, yeah,
and this is going to be the start of building Natalya up to
maybe that'll be the title match at SummerSlam once Ronda wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Build McIntyre, Natty gets jealous that she was instantly came in. She was treated like a star. She got the title right off the bat.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
And SummerSlam is a bigger show, so you can have a better match with Natalya and Rousey at SummerSlam. It's just get Natalya to win the title then, rather than from Nia Jax and have Ronda outside.
I don't know.
Something. So Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler cut a promo next on their phone, and Drew McIntyre said all these WWE superstars have become complacent, and all these things, like, they're just phoning it in. You've got to really, like, flip over the buffet table, or whatever weird analogy he used. And the most criminal people of those are Finn Balor and Braun Strowman, who are their tag team opponents later in the evening. When really, the actual guy most guilty of being complacent and just walking the wrong way on a treadmill forever is Dolph Ziggler, who's his tag team partner. So as much as I love these Drew McIntyre promos, It falls down because the guy he's with is everything he's talking about.
Yes, pretty much, yeah. He was talking about, well, the other side of Galloway, McIntyre's promo is that all Finn Balor is an entrance. He's just a flashy entrance. And all Braun has ever done is flip over cars. You know, which granted, Dolph Ziggler has never done. But what else has Dolph done?
Let's not get into this again. He's done things.
He has done things. But Drew is 100% Drew is the star of this team. He does make Dolph slightly more interesting, but that's only because Drew is so good. And then, man, when he came out later on, I was like, I'm in a little bit in love with Drew McIntyre. I think he's so good.
He's a big guy.
He's a big old guy.
So next up, we had the Deleter of Worlds beating the Revival. We got to see a Revival entrance.
Yeah.
That was cut out of the TV broadcast.
Jobber entrance for the Revival. Yeah. Poor old Revival.
It's depressing.
So it is depressing. It's
actually
sad
depressing.
To see.
And Authors of Pain were on main event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. So the main event matches we got were Authors of Pain beating Titus Worldwide, I believe. We didn't actually see that match because we were getting burgers. But yeah, that was like, cool, so they're already on main event, are they? And then it was Mojo and Chad Gable, I think, was the
main event. Yeah, caught the end of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, open goal, WWE, The Revival and Authors of Pain and Bobby Roode. It took them a year with Shinsuke. Christ. So the Deleter of Worlds match was really fun live because Bray's awesome and Matt has a lot of chants and everyone enjoyed chanting along with Matt and Bray.
Yes.
And doing the wonderful. And he's got the whole world in his hands. I love Bray Wyatt's hot tag and their matches are so much better without commentary.
Although, it's an interesting point to this. So when they're coming down to the ring, Corey and Cole start doing their usual broken gimmick shtick where they were just like, oh, yeah, and who's this guy with this bald-headed guy that you've got me trolling on social media? And it's like, yeah, that's Senor Benjamin, you can't say. But it's the same crap every week. Only this time, Michael Cole seems to be saying that he's turned a corner and he gets the woken gimmick. He now says he gets it. He's becoming woken himself.
Well, that's good.
I guess.
Bayley was walking backstage preparing for her match. This happened twice where people, so Bayley here and Jinder later on, they started walking to their match about two segments before their match.
She's warming
O2
up,
isn't
man.
That big.
She's warming up. She's getting her steps up.
No, she was, what, a Fitbit
yeah,
on
exactly. She's got to get her 10,000 steps a day.
And Sasha Banks stops her and goes, good luck. And Bayley's like, thanks, and walks off.
It was weird because we didn't get the audio for that live. So it just looked like they walked, stopped, and then they've just carried on walking.
Which was equally as interesting.
Yeah.
Then Sami Zayn came out and this was when everyone was really into Sami, singing along with his music. That was all in the commercial break. But then it comes back to Sami and he has a doctor's note.
Yes, because he's got vertigo, which and that's why he couldn't compete at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Wink. But he vertigo from the vertical suplex, the delayed vertical suplex that Bobby Lashley gave him 3 weeks ago. And he had this whole thing about getting this doctor's note out. There's a nice chant that didn't quite catch on of Sick Note Sammy, which I enjoyed. And he pulled out the glasses. One of my other favourite gimmicks on Raw is Sami Zayn's glasses. And he reads out this doctor's note, which essentially was just the Wikipedia result of what vertigo is, which is really, really funny. But he also said that Bobby Lashley is a phony. And he played, I thought they were going to play the whole thing, but he started playing the interview that Bobby Lashley did with Renee Young last week. The interview that Ollie loved so much. Why don't you tell people how much you loved it?
I didn't love it. Luke's being insincere.
Yeah.
And it's weird that they've done two really bad interviews like this in consecutive weeks with Bobby last week and Ronda this week. But anyway,
they're really good at it.
But Bobby, in that interview, talked about loving his three sisters. And it was an attempt to give Bobby Lashley some character backstory, but just made him more asinine than he already was.
It worked so well because the crowd was so into Bobby in the main
and
event.
And his sisters.
They were so into him. He was cheered at the building because of that promo last week. Well, we'll come on to that.
So it cuts back to Sammy, and Sammy says, well, I've done a bit of snooping. I've found Bobby Lashley on Facebook. By the way, everything Sammy did here was brilliant.
So
his,
good.
His delivery is excellent. And that's just crazy for a man who didn't speak and was under a mask for the majority of his career. But he talks about how he's tracked down Bobby's sisters. And next week on Raw, he'll reveal the truth behind Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is going, like, the whatever this payoff is, isn't going to be worth the awfulness of that original interview.
No.
But I am curious to see where they're going to go. Are they going to, like, actually have Bobby's sisters, or are they going to be three actor, like, old women, and they're going to make Sammy's going to make fun of Bobby Lashley via that.
I'll be honest, I don't see any way this segment is going to go well. Because no matter what they do, because I can't say they don't do comedy well, because sometimes they do comedy well. B-Team, Fandango, actually Sami Zayn. But this just screams to me, this might be the This Is Your Life of 2018.
Yeah, yeah. And so This Is Your Life, and that was by someone who was a very good promo, Alexa Bliss. So it's not just how good the promo people are. Like, Sami Zayn could have a bad segment if the script's not good enough. So, yes, yeah. We'll find out next week. Haven't got high hopes, but maybe we'll all be wrong.
All I'm saying is that WWE don't have a great track record of, like, bringing in quote-unquote outside characters for interview segments.
Yeah.
I can't really think of any good ones.
Well, there's the famous Mick Foley one.
Yes, but that segment is good, but it does go on for far too long. It is remembered fondly, and if you watch it in small chunks, it's great. But watching the whole thing in one massive 45-minute chunk that it goes on for, it does drain a little bit.
You could say that about most WWE these days. So next up we had Alexa Bliss beating Bayley and Mickey James. This was the match that Bayley had started her ring entrance for about half an hour beforehand. And it was a bit boring, to be honest. This was late in the show. It was a fine match. It wasn't as awkward looking as the six-woman tag. It was most interesting for a guy who was super into Alexa Bliss in the crowd on the floor, and he had a sign that said, "Alexa, do you fancy a cheeky Nando's?" Exactly. And Nando's is a oddly popular chicken restaurant in the UK. I don't know if it's in America.
I don't think it's broken over that far yet, despite the fact of its South American origins.
There's a popular bit of slang over here, you know, do you fancy a cheeky Nando's? And it's kind of like Netflix and chill, wink, wink. It's a come on line, and it's also one of Will Ospreay's moves.
You love it. In fact, actually, when we were at the Red Pro Show, and it was during the El Fantasmo Will Ospreay match, and Ospreay hit the cheeky Nando's kick, the crowds all went cheeky Nando's, and you groaned.
Like, I just think it's a terrible name for a move. It's a really cool looking move, and you've called it that. But Stormbreaker, give me more Stormbreakers. Awesome name for a move. Cheeky Nando's, yeah. There's a disparity there. So, the match itself wasn't that engaging, but everyone started chanting Cheeky Nando's.
Yes,
in honor of this guy.
And just Nando's. Nando's was the most over thing in this match. Mm-hmm. And that lad with his sign. And it's funny, I actually forgot who won this match. When I went to go see my old housemate after the match, he was like, "Oh, I'm surprised Bayley didn't get into the ladder match." And I was like,
"Really?"
And I went, "Who did?"
Yeah.
I forgot. And it's Alexa Bliss.
So, I mean, Bayley could have a Ronda Rousey match. Mickey James could have a Ronda Rousey match. There are other people there.
No, they had no other options, Ollie. Come on.
So Jinder now starts his entrance to a match that's going to happen in 20 minutes' time.
Selling his ribs from that Superman punch.
Jinder is really good. Now he doesn't have a title on him. He's actually very good. He's turned into a really good performer in this heel character. Because the way he was just like overselling these ribs as he was stumbling along backstage. And he pauses for a moment in a door frame. And then he obviously checking where Roman is off camera. And then he steps forward slightly. And then Roman spears him through a wall. But it was that wall revealed another corridor. So it's like, well, that's a corridor.
put some MDF in
like,
front of.
It's even got signposts directing into where the fake wall would be.
I know.
It was just cover up those signs with a sweet country music poster.
It was quite phony. But like it's supposed to be this cool badass moment because he speared him through a wall. But it's not like so on our. I feel like we're constantly trying to plug this thing. But on our WrestleMania X7 podcast we did for Wrestle Ramble Extra, my favorite match of the night, obviously apart from the main event, which is great. Is the triple threat hardcore match between Raven, Big Show, and Kane.
Beyond TLC 2. You like that more than TLC 2.
Oh, I love that hardcore match so much. It's just nonsense. I love it. But there's a portion of that match that's all backstage, and they essentially fight through a purposefully built like contained area that's just got walls and random tables that they can just throw themselves through and throw themselves through walls. And I loved it because it just felt like absolute nonsense and it was thoroughly entertaining. But here, when he's spinning through the wall and you just see this MDF like collapse and the wall collapses like old biscuits, and I'm like, that actually looks really pants.
There's two cables that dangle down from the ceiling. And I feel like someone's gone, this will make it look real. Don't worry, guys, I've got this. And yeah. But it was a cool spot. And when Roman like speared Jinder through the wall, I cheered. And then most other people did, and then I think we all realised, no, Roman did that. Boo, that's poor Jinder.
Well, that's it, and I've written my notes here. I'm pretty sure Roman Reigns could find the cure for cancer and still get booed. Like, yeah. It's just, there's no hope for him now.
No. Next up, we had the mouth-watering match of Finn Balor and Braun Strowman versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre.
# yes, please.
And when it was announced, I was like, well, yes, this is awesome. We're getting to see this. But really? You've done this Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey match, which kind of books you into a corner. And here, you don't want to beat Braun. You don't want to beat the new tag team of Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre in really their first proper match, because everything has been relatively short squash matches so far. How do you get around this? And the answer, Luke,
is beating Finn Balor.
You beat Finn Balor.
Of course it is. Drew was massively over here and massive. He's a tall boy.
Yeah, so he is really tall, but standing alongside Braun, he's only about an inch shorter. And I feel like we haven't had a chance to realise that. Even the view, like not just us in the live crowd, but viewers watching the TV show, seeing Braun, who's presented as this monster, and Drew being so close in height, was really cool to see.
Yeah, and this match was all built around teasing that showdown between Braun and Drew. So like, anytime Drew would get tagged in, he'd just sort of tag himself out because he didn't want to get involved with Braun. And they did some like bits here and there, but they didn't really have like a showdown. You're saving that for later down the line, I suppose. And this was fun. This was a very formulaic, but you know, fun tag match nonetheless.
Well, I actually really like this match because of how they kept Drew and Braun apart, and Braun Strowman on the apron for a hot tag is really good. He's like, you know, riling up the crowd, and he's like, he wiggles all his fingers waiting for that tag, just because it might give him a bit of extra length.
And he's good at shouting at the referee as well.
Yeah, he's actually really good in that role. I never thought that would be a strength of Braun's, but I thought the hot tag is, but not the waiting for the hot tag as well. And there was another really good spot where Finn Balor blind tags himself in, and Braun Strowman just picks him up and slams him on Dolph, because Dolph was already down. And Finn Balor gets up like, what the hell, dude? Ow! And Braun goes, you're fine, get up! And then Finn stands up and they both do the Braun pose.
Yeah, it was really, really funny. There's a moment that really made me laugh in this, because Braun is on the outside waiting to get the hot tag, and Dolph is like keeping Finn away, and they're working on him. And Braun just at random shouts, Braun's like, you're going to get these hands.
Yeah.
It was just like a warning. He was like, just so you know, eventually I will get the hot tag and you're going to get these hands. But he just bellows it, and it really made me laugh.
He's got such a good voice.
He has, yeah. Oh, and Balor's chest was super red off of Drew McIntyre's chops. Oof.
But the finish was Finn and Dolph in the ring, and Drew were kind of like this pulled on Finn Balor's leg or something, and that allowed Dolph to get the upper hand. So Braun runs around the ring outside like he's been doing to Kevin Owens, and he does this full-on battering ram charge onto Drew, but Braun also falls over. Drew like rolls backwards into the greatest Royal Rumble trophy, sending it falling over in its two pieces. We saw it being assembled at ringside into JoJo.
Yeah, poor old JoJo.
It's bigger than JoJo.
Poor old JoJo took it like right. Oh, poor old JoJo. But yeah,
she took it.
Well, I was going to say right in the face, then I stopped myself because that would have been worse. But yeah, we saw the Greatest Royal Rumble trophy come out, and it is in two segments, and they put it together. But the way that it falls apart, it's put together with like one Lego brick.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not structurally sound. Everything else, the two parts individually, structurally sound. Those aren't falling apart. But there is just one little Lego brick in the middle that joins the two together. And it came apart, and it fell into poor old JoJo.
I really like this spot for multiple reasons, because it looked awesome. But it was just that, when we've seen Braun knock people over in the past, Kevin Owens, he just runs past him. But when he knocks down Drew, he had to throw himself into him, and they were both down for a bit afterwards. Like, throwing himself into Drew hurt Braun as much as it did McIntyre.
Yeah.
So, really can't wait for that eventual match, which will probably happen on TV next week now. They played the Ronda segment again! Woo! Then Kurt's on his phone, and he's like, oh, I've got the perfect replacement for Jinder in the main event. That a lot of people started chanting Jason Jordan.
Well, I was going to say, my mate Grev was behind me, and I just heard him shout, oh, it's going to be Jason Jordan, isn't it?
But Stephanie tells him on the phone, nope, it's going to be Kevin Owens. So that was Owens getting his own back from earlier on. And it was Kevin Owens. He beat Bobby Lashley and Elias.
Mm.
Elias was really over. I felt like we were all quite cheated that we didn't get to see a proper Elias concert.
We did in the dark match.
Not really.
No, after the dark match.
So
you'd left. I went back in to watch it.
Ah.
So the dark match was, they did a six-man tag of Rollins, Roman, and Bobby Lashley against Elias, Kevin Owens, and Sammy. And then which you watched, which was like, you know, because we want to send the crowd home happy, so it built to a Roman hot tag so he could get the pinfall, because that doesn't send that crowd home happy, because everyone booed it. So everyone then left, and eventually Elias got to sing his song.
Nice.
And it was great.
What did he sing it about?
London, and about how much it smells.
Yes. And, I love Elias.
And the crowd loved it.
So, yes, everyone's into Elias. Kevin Owens is very good, and people like him too, as in a heel role. Like, we booed him because he was doing dastardly things. Kevin Owens was going after Elias, so Elias couldn't sing.
Yeah.
Which made us boo Owens. Kevin Owens is a genius. Bobby Lashley, however.
Yeah, I mean, he was greeted to indifference when he came out, and then any time he got offense was booed. Not Roman Reigns levels of boos, but he was booed quite heavily.
Mm.
In fact, the only thing that was over about Bobby, remarkably, was Bobby Sisters, which was a chant that went throughout the match. It was just Bobby Sisters, and that really did catch fire throughout the arena. But that's not chanting for Bobby, that's not chanting for Sisters, that's making fun of Bobby and this stupid character that they've now given him. It really hasn't worked. And I really do think that interview last week has been damaging to Bobby Lashley. Really, really damaging, actually.
Because up until that point, it's been indifference. Like, Bobby's in, okay, when's he going to tag in Braun Strowman? But here, he was getting booed. People have gone against him. And it's not just because they wanted to see Elias and Kevin Owens.
No.
Because there are a lot of kids and families there as well. Yeah. And there were no cheers. It's like, maybe... Yeah, it was the lack of cheers that made those boos so loud and worrying.
Yeah, and in fact, actually, speaking of like the kids and families that we saw there, you know, we are jaded, cynical men in our 30s. So, of course, we wanted to boo Roman Reigns. But and this happened last time we were at a WWE show. When you see kids dressed up as Roman Reigns and you see them in all their gear, I'm like, oh, man, I feel kind of bad that I keep booing him.
Nah, I gave one a noogie.
The kids want to cheer him. Yeah. Like, so they, like, after the match ended, like, this kid and his dad was like, come on, we need to go now. And this boy, and he was dressed head to toe in Roman Reigns gear, and he had the gloves on and everything. He had the chest protector on, and they started walking up. And then when Roman Reigns' music hit for the dark match, he just came careening back down the stairs because he wanted to see his hero, Roman Reigns, do a match. It works for kids. Problem is that the majority of the crowd is made up of jaded 30-year-olds like you and I, who just want to boo him because we think he sucks a little bit.
Yeah. Well, he does. Well, he does.
His in-ring work doesn't, his character does.
The kid will learn. Yeah, just watch me boo him, kid. You need to see this.
Who was the kid that you had a pop-out for that was asking you who your favourite wrestler was, and you told them Brock Lesnar?
My cousin's son.
Yeah. And they said, like, why Brock Lesnar? He gets a boo. And
yes.
Then you were like, well, what does Roman Reigns get?
Yeah. Well, he was wrong. And I think everyone agreed with me at that family gathering that I ruined.
You picked on a child.
But this was a fun-ish match. I liked Elias trying to do his song during it. He called JoJo over and got her to hold the mic, and he tried to sing, but then Kevin Owens went for him, and Elias had this wonderful bit where he was like, no, take the microphone back, and yeah. It was caught by the microphone.
Here, take this.
Yeah.
I thought that was for the live crowd only. Like, it felt like it was a spot that you do just like during the commercial break.
Mm.
So I was really happy to see that made it onto TV. It was really great.
But Sami Zayn interfered and pulled Bobby Lashley off a pin, and then hit him with the Huluva kick outside, allowing Kevin Owens to pin Elias and go to Money in the Bank. Mm. And they celebrate like they're best friends again. It's like, I mean, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they're lucky they're so good because their storyline is Bayley and Sasha Banks levels of inconsistent.
Oh, isn't it?
Because
just...
there was dissension over the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Just gone away. Not going to touch on that again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All that stuff at Backlash and that stuff that happened last week, just not followed up on it. In fact, actually, there was a point because Kevin Owens had the IC match and then Sammy was seemingly starting this program with Bobby Lashley that I suddenly thought was like, I think they just dropped the Kevin and Sammy stuff completely.
I thought that.
So then
too.
It was a genuine surprise when Sammy came out at the end. I was like, well, are they friends? Mm. You're right. It is. It's just the inconsistent storytelling. It's a good job they are good. Otherwise, they would be the Bayley and Sasha Banks of the men's division.
Mm. So overall, I thought it was better for us because we saw it live and we got to participate in the fun and the chance. It was so much better than the show we went to last year, which WWE, in fairness, did have to rewrite last minute because Braun Strowman had injured himself the day before and they had to book this awful show where Dean Ambrose was the wacky general manager and it was just garbage.
It was
and
garbage.
The matches were all sucky because they were sucky. They sucked.
Sucky.
because they looked tired. But this one had several good matches. I thought all the women's stuff pretty much sucked. Bad matches, and the Ronda Rousey stuff was bad. But Drew and Braun, the B team, I like that. But everything else was kind of inconsequential. Didn't really build to anything. So I'm going to say average.
Well, we now know who all the Raw members of the Money in the Bank ladder match are. So we've got Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, and...
Bobby Roode,
thank you very much. And they join, just to recap the show, and they're going to join The Miz and Rusev. So we've got two more spots to fill for the men's.
Well, one will possibly be a New Day member.
Yes, it'll be either a New Day member or a member of the Bar.
Did you see the reports? It's Big E. WWE want to push Big E as a single star.
Interesting. Yeah. That would be my third choice. Who to put in.
Yeah, Xavier Woods, right. a ladder match. The stockiest guy, please.
Yeah, we've already got Braun in the match, so you're going to have
and
the
Rusev.
Yeah, you're going to have the spot where Braun tries to climb a ladder and the things break. Mm. So you're going to have that bit in there. Also, that's the other thing we noticed as well. When you see it live, the women's Money in the Bank ladder, Money in the Bank briefcase is, I mean, you described it perfectly, dainty.
It's a little one.
Tiny. It's a very small thing. But overall, I thought this show was good. I'd have given it an average, maybe a high average because I enjoyed the show live. I thought a lot of the matches were you know, fine, with fun. I really enjoyed the opener. I really enjoyed the B team, and it's just fun kind of being there. It's the best Raw taping I've been to in a long old time, I think, because I've been to some pretty diabolical ones.
Slap that one on the poster.
So, yeah, it was fine.
Cool. A bit of housekeeping just before we do the outro. Luke is away on holiday next week.
I certainly
am. For 2 weeks.
Yes, I'm going away. Well, 10 days. The wife and I are going away to Dubrovnik in Croatia, I think it is. My wife booked it. My wife just books holidays and tells me when we're going.
So I've got to find a replacement for Luke. But I'm working on it.
Yeah, we're working
hopefully.
On it. So, as you will have just heard there in the main show, I am going away for 10 days. I'm going to Dubrovnik with my wife. We're going to sit on the beach. I'm going to read. I'm going to try and catch up on some of the books that have just been sitting in my to-read pile. So that is pretty much what I'm going to be doing with myself.
What's top of the pile?
Well, I'm currently finishing up the third of the Cormoran Strike books, which was written by J.K. Rowling under a pseudonym. I can't remember what the pseudonym is now.
Dumbledore.
I think that's the one, yeah. But she wrote it under that. And I thought the first one was broadly fine. And I quite enjoyed the second one, actually. I thought it was a much better book. And I'm quite enjoying this one as well. I just haven't... Because usually when I'm on the tube, I'm working. So I don't have time to read as much as I would like to. But I've also got a book about how soda is marketed and the politics surrounding sugary drinks that I'm very much looking forward to diving into.
Fernie Whittenstall's been all over that recently.
He certainly has, yeah. So that's the sort of fare that I take with me on my holidays.
Bit of fact, bit of fiction.
Exactly.
You've got main course and dessert.
And if you are going on a holiday, I know a great book that I could certainly recommend to you.
The Almanac.
Lights, camera, game. Oh yeah, that as well. But lights, camera, game over. It's if you want to know about how video game movies got made. But what is going to happen to the podcast while I'm away, Ollie?
Well, Luke, you'll be glad to know that all of the plans have fallen through. So we don't know. We don't know right now. I'm hoping it's something will miraculously happen. And this, like, people are going, oh, they've got something up their sleeves. Because we tend to do this. We'll start, like, referencing something before it's about to happen as a bit of foreshadowing. Like, I don't know if you noticed, in the last couple of weeks, we've been joking about how we don't have to do any prediction battles. And that's because we knew the general manager was going to make his triumphant return, Grado, and tell Luke to do a punishment, finally.
Yeah, finally.
After Luke skipped loads. And then put my jacket on the line.
I haven't technically lost since November.
Mm. But you've done as many punishments, more punishments than me.
I know.
But no, this is a legit worry and concern. Luke doesn't have to mind because he's going off. But I guess there's two options. One, I find someone who is passable. That's all they have to be, passable. And if you live in London and you're free on Wednesdays and Tuesday lunchtimes and you can watch Raw or SmackDown in the morning, seriously, maybe send Luke an email.
Why send me an email? Because they need to speak to you.
I don't want to give out mine. Because loads of people are going to get in touch and go, oh, I'd love to be a part of it. Oh, where do you live? Sri Lanka. Well, you know, there was a big asterisk here.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I live in London. Are you free on those times? No.
No,
but, oh, thanks.
But I can come in and do other things.
Thanks for getting in touch. That was literally no help for this problem. But, you know, you're not going to wait till Monday.
No,
hoping to have it sorted by then.
I'm sure we can sort something out.
FaceTime me.
But also, the sound of the podcast might be slightly different because I won't be around to edit them.
Oh, yeah.
So you're so used to, like, the Patreon advert and the stuff at the start and all the niceness that goes with the editing. It won't be intros and outros. It will literally just be the YouTube version uploaded as an audio file.
Yeah, because Ollie's editing. And Ollie can edit visual stuff. He doesn't know anything about sounds.
So he is just doing the bare minimum, as all is needed, really.
The bare minimum. What are you going to do when my stripped-down Raw edits do better than any of your fancy fuddy-duddy music bed track edits?
I don't think that's going to happen, though, is it?
I don't think so either. Well, you know, so someone could stand in.
Yeah.
Or I'm seriously considering doing it solo.
Well, a solo thing is very interesting. So Brian Alvarez has done solo shows on the Figure Four before, and I always thought that's a very brave move. Because it's hard to do essentially a one-man radio show. I've done one-man radio shows previously.
Off-Broadway.
Yes, and on student radio. And it is so harder than it seems to be. Mm. And I had music that I could just throw to. I could fill 20 minutes worth of my two-hour slots, you know, consecutively by just playing tracks. Because people don't really want to hear me just talk nonsense to myself.
Well, my first ever wrestling podcast was Solar Monster.
Mm.
And he is just a guy, a very knowledgeable and very eloquent guy, who talks by himself. Very rarely does he have a guest on. I think in the 600 episodes I listened to him for, he only ever had one on. And that was my first podcast. I just used to think, oh, this is the way podcasts are. And then I got used to just the one-person format. And I would try and say, if people wanted to start a podcast with our old podcast network, I'd say, you should do it as just a solo person. And they'd be like, no, I like talking with people. But now I wouldn't do it any other way.
No, exactly. And I think the only other podcast that I listen to with one person are more scripted shows where they have a format in front of them and they read that out. Like a show I used to present back in the day, the Twilight Zone podcast. So, but it'd be interesting to hear you do a one-man show. I'll be able to listen to it while I'm out in Dubrovnik. So I'm going to need you to be able to keep me up to date on the... because I'm going to miss two Raws and two SmackDowns.
Hmm. I wonder. Well, I'm going to do all the WrestleTalk news episodes and Raw and SmackDown.
Mm.
God, I really, we really need an extra person. Anyway, should we do some? You said you got some more correspondence.
I could do one more bit of correspondence, and I'll do the rest of them on tomorrow's show, and I'll try and save some for the Saturday show as well. Hey, Luke, I heard on today's podcast that Gareth had a strange dream involving you guys at WrestleTalk. Well, step aside, Gareth, because my dream was far more bizarre than yours. Let's keep it short and simple. Ollie, Lana, my best friend, and myself were all on the couch watching a movie.
Uh-oh.
Next thing I know, Lana and my friend are going for it. Me and Ollie are ignoring them until Lana invites me to join. So that happened. An awkward threesome, and Ollie was just sat there watching, silently, for the rest of the entire dream. My partner and best friend weren't too entertained by the dream, but hopefully you find some humor in it. I don't think I'm going to tell Lana, though. Thinking face emoji. If for some reason you decide to read this out, I'll stay a non on this one. Ha 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 ha. It's a good job I didn't read out his name first, because I tend not to read the emails before I read them out.
There is a lot to unpack there.
Isn't there, just?
I mean, just even if you take me out of it, you did have a threesome with your friend and Lana. I mean, that's great. I personally, you know, that is for some people, c'est la vie. But personally, I would feel very uncomfortable about having a friend engage in a sexual act on someone I was also engaged in a sexual act on. And then to add someone else watching all of that happen. I can barely do it at the moment with our big mirror wardrobe. If I catch my eye, I'm out. Like, what is this ridiculous guy? This is stupid. Get off me. Start crying. Gotta get that sorted.
You're just getting rid of the mirrors.
Just get rid of the wardrobe. Built in, damn it.
Oh, those are the worst. Those are the worst. We had a massive built-in wardrobe. Actually, that was all mirrors as well.
Yeah. Maybe something opaque. Maybe there's a spray I can spray on it and it just turns it all opaque.
Yeah. Or you could just plaster up pictures of Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that would be much better. So then Seth Rollins' body.
Yeah.
And I can kind of position my
head.
Yes, so
what
it's,
I mean. So you look over and you're like, oh, actually, look how good I look.
There we go. The CrossFit's paying off.
I too am a CrossFit Jesus.
Burn it down. I'll do it to the stump. But we are a PG-friendly podcast.
I was going to say, I think some children might listen to this show, so I'm going to very much apologise for Ollie Davis's potty mouth.
We only hinted to stuff. We never said anything.
I mean, now you're taking it down.
Explicit.
Now you're just taking it further, though, aren't you? Like, we could have just moved past that, but you decided not to.
Well, I've taken the heat off Anon here,
yep,
who has had a very weird dream about me watching him have a threesome with his friend.
And Lana.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm assuming he means Lana as in Rusev and, as opposed to just a friend of his called Lana.
Yeah. Another YouTuber, maybe.
A friend of his called Lana who also listens to the show.
Yeah.
But, and that's why he wanted to stay Anon.
Mm.
Who knows? But anyway, I suppose, should we just call that a day? I think we can't really do much more. But do you want to do some iTunes reviews?
I will do one iTunes review from B-Man100974. You guys are awesome. You're the best. Thank you, B-Man!
Look at B-Man, B-Team.
That was good. Succinct, to the point, and just so I don't skip the one underneath it. Guido Olsen says, Wrestle Ramble. The title of the review. I always struggled to find a good pro wrestling podcast. That was until I found Wrestle Ramble. I've been a wrestling fan for 6 years now, and over time, I've become more and more interested in what goes on backstage. I even do predictions with my friends, and we compete for a title. I'm the current champ! So being able to listen to two different opinions on every situation in WWE and why certain things might happen, while also having the knowledge of backstage, has been great. I love hearing you guys talking about how WWE should do it better, and I especially love fantasy booking, as I too try to think of long-term storylines for WWE. Overall, fantastic content. Keep it up and support WrestleTalk.
Oh, great. That's a nice long intro.
Thank you, Guido.
Nice long review.
Yes, thank you. But that's all we've got time for today. I'm off to find a replacement for Luke for next week.
And we are off to record much more content. I love you. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.